As I've done the last couple weeks here on KFGO.com, I've had an opportunity to talk with the beat writers for the North Dakota State University football team's opponents, their upcoming opponents in the FCS playoffs. And this week, we have an opportunity to talk to Al Pike. He's the beat writer for Foster's Daily Democrat out of Dover, New Hampshire. He's the beat writer who covers the University of New Hampshire football team, NDSU's FCS semifinal opponent. The New Hampshire Wildcats are from the Colonial Athletic Association out in the East Coast. They beat Lafayette in the first round, Maine in the second, and then Southeastern Louisiana in the quarterfinals, and now find themselves coming to the Fargo Dome to take on the NDSU football team. Al, the first question I have for you is, how good is this team really? Because as I look at their schedule, they've only beaten four teams with winning records.
I think three of those teams have come late in the season. They had to beat Maine twice, and they were ranked, I think, fourth in the country the first time they beat them. That's their arch rival. They beat them twice in 3 weeks. And then the last two playoff wins have been on the road against Maine and Southeastern Louisiana. It's a little deceiving because at the time they played some of the teams that don't have winning records now, they had winning records at the time. They beat Villanova, who was nationally ranked at the time. They beat James Madison, who was nationally ranked at the time. And those teams kind of struggled down the stretch. So I think this team might be a little bit better than people suspect. They play in a tough conference, arguably maybe the toughest conference top to bottom in the country. And they're building momentum now. They've been playing at a high level for quite some time now with their backs against the wall. They've won six in a row, 9 of 10. So, you know, to say now that, haven't beaten a lot of teams with winning records, I think that's a little deceiving because at the time they did play some of these teams. They were in the thick of the, they were nationally ranked in the thick of the CAA race.
Talk about playing Maine in back-to-back weeks, essentially. I mean, there was Lafayette mixed in between, but what was that like? Was it kind of exciting for this New Hampshire team to have an opportunity to beat a rival two times in 3 weeks?
Yeah, it was, they're really arch rivals. They're kind of arch enemies, and the very unusual circumstance that they had to play them twice. They played in the last game of the regular season to get into the tournament and pretty much dominated that game 24-3. And then, as you mentioned, they played Lafayette the following week and then had to go to Maine to play them again and again played very well and pretty much controlled most of the game. So it was pretty exciting. They play annually for a musket. That's a big prize. And UNH has beaten Maine 10 out of the last 11 times, and these two with these two games they just played, and there was a lot riding on both. They had to beat them the first time to get in, they had to beat them the second time to stay in. So that it was pretty exciting.
What is kind of the fan following of the Wildcats in New Hampshire? NDSU fans are pretty much diehard. We've heard comparisons for NDSU fans to the University of Nebraska as far as traveling is concerned, and we're, as people in Fargo, always kind of curious to see, what is the FCS following for other schools? So fandom in New Hampshire, where would you rank it at?
I'm not sure. They don't travel well. I don't think, and they play in sometimes some remote destinations. You know, Southeastern Louisiana and now in North Dakota and those types of things. They do well. For selected games at home, and of course the school's on semester break now too, so the students have scattered. But I don't think they travel, real well. They got a good home crowd for homecoming, and they get good crowds for arch rivals like Maine and UMass when they played UMass. But as far as the fan base, it's hard to say. I know you folks have a pretty rabid following. I've seen a couple games on TV and that sort of thing, but I don't think UNH football is quite at that level.
What does the University of New Hampshire do well offensively and defensively?
Offensively, they're pretty balanced. They mix the run and the pass well. They have a 1,000-yard rusher in Nico Stiritti. And their quarterback Sean Goldrich has gotten hot near the end, and he showed a lot of poise in their last two wins against Maine and Southeast Louisiana. They have an All-American wide receiver in R.J. Harris, and they can move the ball either way, on the ground or in the air, and they like to keep it as balanced as they can, and they can be unpredictable as well. A lot's been made of some of the trick or gimmick plays that a lot of people have talked about, but they do the unexpected and they can be unpredictable. And they're pretty athletic offensively. Defensively is probably where they've improved the most. They got off to a slow start this year. They lost three of their first four games. They had trouble finishing. The defense was having problems tackling. They were giving up big plays. But that has gradually improved over the course of the year, and I think that's probably the biggest, that could be the biggest reason where they are right now. UNH has always been known as an explosive offensive team, but they haven't had the defense to go with it. Now they do. They're tackling much better, keeping the ball in front of them for the most part, and inside. You complete a short pass on them, and they'll get the receiver to the ground rather than let them get yards after the catch. And they've gotten better over the season to a point now where they're getting key stops, they're getting turnovers at key times, and that sort of thing. So I think they're pretty balanced on both sides of the ball right now.
Talk about their pass rush. I'm looking at the numbers right now. They have 43 sacks as a team. They've got some guys, Akil Anderson and Shane McNeely, two very good defensive players. Right. Talk about those guys and the pressure they put on the quarterback.
Yeah, those two guys. UNH, they had the first time they played Maine, I think they had something like 5 sacks, and they had 10 sacks against Lafayette. So that's a little bit skewed with those two games. But they have done a much better job this year of pressuring the quarterback, and those two linebackers have really stepped up this year. Akil Anderson is a converted safety, and this is his first year as a starter. And Shane McNeil is first year as a starter as well. Anderson is essentially replacing Matt Evans, who won the Buck Buchanan Award as the best defensive player in the country a couple years ago. So they needed contributions from those two guys, and that was a big question mark coming into the season. But those guys have really stepped up and played well, as has all the defense, along with the defensive line. And you have some seniors on the defensive line and senior co-captain Manny Assam on the back end, and those guys have done a great job, leading that group. And they've gotten contributions not only from the seniors, but they've got some younger kids who've had to step in and fill important roles, like cornerback Casey DeAndrade, who was ranked second nationally in pass breakups and that sort of thing. So they've gotten some contributions from their veterans and some of the other younger kids that have had to step in because of injuries and graduation and whatnot.
If I'm a Bison fan, I'm looking at this and I go, the wide receivers scare me, Justin Mello and, like you said, R.J. Harris. From your perspective, what would scare New Hampshire fans about NDSU? What's the one thing you look at and go, okay, that's where they're going to win this football game?
Well, they're going up against another elite quarterback in Brock Jensen. They've faced a couple similar to him who can pass and run over the course of the season. So I think they're probably going to have to contain him. Other than that, I haven't seen a lot of North Dakota State, so I'm not sure who else they have or what they're best at. But I do know of him, and they faced a couple of those guys. They did a good job last week against Brian Bennett, who was a transfer from Oregon and now is Southeastern Louisiana, and they made him a pocket passer and kept him from getting outside. They contained him and kept him, and did a nice job, defending him. Of course, the one play he beat them on ended up being ESPN's top play of the week. But
yeah, that was that was a pretty insane play. Yeah. Even in the end, though, New Hampshire comes away with the win.
Right.
And
yep.
You look
played,
at
there was definitely a flawed performance by UNH last week, but they found a way to win that.
You look at NDSU's schedule; they've played some pretty tough teams in the Missouri Valley, but last week against Coastal Carolina, a team with an offense that averaged 42 points per game coming in. Did that raise some eyebrows for the University of New Hampshire when they saw that, going, boy, that's an offense that was about third ranked in the nation. They could only muster against 14 against NDSU.
Right. Yeah, they were they were impressed. They watched some of that game, maybe all of it, you know, before their game, and they were definitely impressed at what they saw. And I think they know what they're up against. They're certainly not overconfident, but they're a confident group right now. They feel like they've got some momentum going. They've been underdogs. Underdogs in their last two games, and they were a long shot to make the tournament. I mean, they had three losses in the first month of the season, and they figured the most they could lose after that would be one game, or their season would be essentially over, and their as well as their playoff run. So their backs have been against the wall. I mean, they don't fear anyone. The pressure doesn't seem to bother them because they have been playing like that for so long. Knowing that the last 6 weeks, knowing one loss, and that was probably going to be the end of their season. So they've been in playoff mode for a while now, but they were definitely impressed by what they saw from North Dakota State. And of course, they made history last week, even though they've been in the tournament for the last 10 years, the first time they made the semis. So that was a significant win for the program, but they want more.
Do you think the short week is going to bother them at all, especially knowing that they didn't get out of Louisiana at the time they wanted to?
Well, it's bothering me. I'm still I'm still recovering from it, but hopefully they do a better job than I am. They kind of embraced it. I mean, you know, they talking to Manny Assam on Monday, he said, you know, they just kind of embraced it and went with it. There's really nothing they could do about it. It's definitely a short week. The players really didn't get a day off, unless you consider, you know, traveling all day, a day off. They had finals last week, so they don't have school this week, so they don't have that to worry about. They seem to, you know, taking it in stride, you know, it's hard to say how much it's affected them, but they're saying it's not. So, you know, we'll see. It definitely is a quick turnaround when you're given the Friday night game plus, you know, getting home late. So I guess we'll have to wait and see how much it does affect them. But right now, you know, they're not bothered by it.
How do you see this game going? NDSU has been able to dominate the first two rounds, which not really their style last couple of years. They struggled with Wofford in a 14-7 win, and then last year was a nail-biter against Georgia Southern. But the first two rounds for NDSU have been complete domination of Furman and then Coastal Carolina. Do you expect University of New Hampshire, knowing what you know about them, to be in this game, play them through all four quarters?
From what I've seen over the last 6 weeks, yeah, I think they can play with them, but they can't beat themselves. They can't fall behind 24-0 like Coastal did. They had some issues on special teams last week that have to be cleaned up. They had three kicks blocked. They had a long kick return against them. They had a lot of punt return against them. But the defense came through and bailed them out. They got to play a cleaner game than that, I think, against North Dakota State. You know, if they don't beat North Dakota State, doesn't look like they beat themselves. And UNH certainly can't. They can't turn. They got to hold on to the ball, and they got to tackle well on defense. I mean, I think those are the two biggest things, and they can't get too far behind. But I think they can play with them. I know North Dakota State has dominated the first couple of rounds, but you know the way UNH has been playing lately, they have some momentum. I think they can play with them as long as they don't beat themselves.
It'll be a fun game. Kickoff for it is 7 p.m. ESPN2. Of course, you can hear the game on KFGO across the Bison Radio Network. It's going to be a fun semifinal game. NDSU has 24 seniors going into it. Last time that they'll have a chance to play at the Fargo-Dome. Last time, NDSU head coach Craig Bohl will be at the Fargo-Dome taking a job at the University of Wyoming. So, Al, I appreciate the time you spent with us and giving us some insight on the University of New Hampshire and their football team. Always a pleasure for me to visit with a beat writer from the opponent that NDSU is facing. I know a lot of people enjoy the insight and get a chance to listen to this. So hopefully you have a safe trip into Fargo, and we'll probably see you Friday.
All right. Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.